Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. This weekend, Statement of Pride will be playing in Orange County, and I am so excited because for anyone who's been following Statement of Pride, they're supposed to come out here way back when Shackled played program, but they weren't able to make it. So I'm very happy that the time has finally come. So this Saturday, please, everyone who's listening to this, show up to program, support Statement of Pride, support Major Pain, Firestarter, all the bands playing. I'm just so excited to see Statement of Pride in California. I haven't seen them since, I think, Hardcore Pride Weekend last year. So I'm very excited. So support Statement of Pride. They'll be traveling all the way out west from Pensacola, Florida, which is far, but it's awesome that they're making the journey out. They're playing a string of awesome shows with Firestarter and Major Pain, so I'm stoked for them. So I'll see you all Saturday. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up X, go boot up Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guests, is anyone following this Hybe versus Minhee Jean drama, which is crazy for anyone who is following it? I just can't believe we might see the end of New Jeans, which is crazy to think, because when you think in terms of K-pop, the level that New Jeans has gotten to is rare. You got to think about groups like BTS, groups like Blackpink. There's not many groups that have gotten to the level that they have, right? You're talking about like cultural resets, just worldwide acknowledgement. It's crazy. So to be here, and this is early in their career, so to be here and to see that the group's future is in jeopardy is definitely not something I was expecting at all, just because they're so popular and just good all around up until now. It's pretty insane. So if you're not following this drama, please go look it up. I'm very curious to see where people lie, because it's pretty interesting. But I just hope at the end of all of this, I hope that New Jeans is able to continue on for a very long time, because they deserve it. Awesome group so far. But on today's episode, we had to track down our friend Grape, coming out of Las Vegas, Nevada, sings for a band called Thousand Ways to Die, which I'm a huge fan of. I'm always happy to be able to shine light on the Las Vegas hardcore scene. I've been going to shows there since my early days, and I just love being able to shine a light and show support, just because I feel like if I didn't meet my friends in Las Vegas early on in hardcore, I feel like things might be a little bit different. Because if I'm being honest, when I got told by Justin Everyman, he was like, hey, we have these homies in Las Vegas who we think that you guys would click with, you should definitely meet them and see how it goes. So we're like, yeah, let's fucking do it. If they're a friend of yours, they're definitely a friend of ours. And because of that connection, we clicked right away. We showed support, just legit support from the very beginning, with no weird ulterior motives. They were just down for us, and when we were down for them, we would make the trip out to Vegas, they would come out to California, and we would just support each other's scenes. I remember going to Vegas and just getting to experience a whole new scene, which was insane, because in those early days, I had only experienced what was going on in Southern California. At that point, I had never traveled out of the state for shows. So heading to Las Vegas for the first time to hit an out-of-state show was eye-opening, right? You know, people mosh different out there. Getting to, you know, see different bands, bands that, you know, we'd have only heard about and only listened to on MySpace at the time. So getting to see bands like Folsom, Winch Mob, you know, the first time I saw Will to Live was in Texas. You know, we got to see Death Before Dishonor out there a bunch of times. It was just such a cool thing for us to be so young and to meet people our age that were just going just as hard for hardcore, but in a whole different area. So I'm very thankful to have been able to have met them. And then even through the years, they've been nothing but solid. So I'm always down to support the Las Vegas hardcore scene in any way that I can. So for me to be able to have on Grape, who sings in a newer band from the area, you know, I'm just happy that they're still out there thriving, right? For anyone who's following what Black Path Booking is doing, it's just insane to see them, you know, do a lot of cool shit. Because for a while, there was a dark period, and I was telling people, I'm like, hey, yeah, I know things might be, you know, tough out there now, but just trust me, Las Vegas has it. That scene is legit. And like I said, I've been going to shows out there since the like late 2000s. I probably went out there like my first time maybe around like 2006, 2007, that time. And you know, from then till now, I've always been a fan of what they've been doing out there. And you know, just over the years, it's always been an honor for me to be able to have, you know, people like Dustin on the podcast, Nick from Misericordium, and even now to have someone like Grape on the podcast, and just to hear his passion about where he comes from and how much love he has for where he lives and for his scene, that just gets me so excited, because I'm always stoked to hear from people that are stoked for you know, from, you know, from where they're at, because obviously I have a lot of pride living in Orange County. You know, even though I'm a transplant, I've been here 14 years now, which is crazy when I think about those numbers on the board. But yeah, been living in Orange County for 14 years, but I still, you know, rep the scene as hard as I can, right? I try to put on for all the local bands. Shout out to bands like Ruin. We got a new Ruin podcast coming out very soon, so look out for Ruin. They got new music too, which I'm stoked for. So I just love being able to have a hand in, you know, promoting the scene, you know, telling everybody about the local bands who might not be familiar. So like whenever I'm out, I just try to, you know, put people on game about like where I'm from. But obviously, when I meet people who go just as hard for their area, it gets me hyped, because I love seeing people with that sense of pride and that much love, you know, for their own city, like I do for mine. So it's always cool for me to be able to talk to people like Grape. So if you've gotten this far, you're not familiar with Thousand Way to Die, please hit pause, go boot up your Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music, Tidal, YouTube, or whatever. Go listen to the music and then come back here and listen to Grape and I Chop It Up. It was a great conversation. It is a very interesting life. I was very, you know, fascinated and, you know, surprised to hear about his story. But it was a great conversation. So please go listen to music and come back here and listen to Grape and I Chop It Up about all things Las Vegas and all things Thousand Ways to Die. So please strap in and enjoy this conversation. Welcome Grape to the show. Welcome to the podcast, Grape. How's it going?
No, it's going good. I probably should have waited to open the beer so I could be like a cool, but it's cool. You still drinking.
It's all good. It's all good. But I'm happy to have you on the podcast. Obviously, I had reached out to, you know, to Dustin to get in contact with somebody from A Thousand Ways to Die, because I've been a fan of that band for a minute. And I always, you know, want to show love to the Las Vegas scene whenever I can. So when I was, you know, kind of just thinking of who I wanted to book on the podcast, I was like, damn, I should finally reach out to that band. And, you know, sure enough, I reached out to Dustin, who is our mutual friend. And, you know, he recommended that I reach out to you. So I'm happy that you're down to do the podcast today. So thank you.
Yeah, man, no problem. You know, it's kind of crazy because I feel like I'm a nobody. You know, like I've been going to shows out here for a minute, but I still feel like a nobody. Like I ain't, you know, I don't feel like people kind of treat me like I'm some kind of weird ass celebrity or some weird shit like that. But I feel like I'm just a regular person. Like I just love the scene here. You feel me? I grew up here. So man, I'm honored to be doing this. I've never done nothing like this before.
Okay. Well, I'm honored to have you. And, you know, I have like a long standing history with the Las Vegas hardcore scene because I feel like I like hold that scene to like such a special place in my heart because I, you know, went there when I was so young, you know, just in my life, but also so early on in like my hardcore journey. And I was able to meet people like Dustin, Albert, Eddie, Adam, Aaron, and
all my OGs, man.
Yeah.
I fucking love you guys, man, for real.
Yeah, and to know that you know, they're still around, you know, putting on for the scene just as hard today as they were back then, you know, is like so awesome for me to see, but also for them to have just been like the same from, you know, when I first met them to now, you know, like I'll reach out for help or for, you know, some information, and they're always, you know, down to help out. So I'm just very happy, you know, to be able to talk to anybody from the Las Vegas hardcore scene. So this is something that I just, you know, love to do. And I'm just always happy to shine a light on your guys' scene just because I always feel like, there's always been something cool going on in Vegas, right? I you know, there was like a point in time where, you know, things weren't really popping off, but you know, yeah. When you look at your scene today, you know, it's just going buck wild, and you know, you guys get so many awesome shows, and the turnout looks awesome, and like the newer bands popping up are awesome. So it's just like I'm just stoked to see you guys doing well out there.
It's crazy, man. Like so I was just incarcerated last year or the year before that for about maybe like 6 to 8 months, so I wasn't around. And before I got locked up, I actually fucking like I was kind of like turning away from the scene. Like I was in drugs bad and shit, so I was kind of focusing on like trying to be like on my street shit, like do graffiti and shit and do all that other just not hard stuff, you know. And then when I came out of jail, I seen just all these new kids, like all these young kids just going hard, and just they're excited. They were just as excited as I was when I had first came to shows, and it's crazy, man. And I'm glad to see that a lot of the people, like all my OGs, like Adam, Dustin, Aaron, Albert, like all those fools, like they've always had the same mindset towards like the scene out here, and they've always loved it. And that's what makes me have the same exact mindset. Like I kind of take after them a lot because, you know, I'm keeping real. Like I want to be like them one day when I grow up. You know, like it's. Those are some cats that I really look up to. They're almost like I'm the oldest out of three brothers, but I feel like all those cats are like my big brothers, and it makes me excited for like all the shit that's happening in Vegas.
That's really awesome to hear. And I kind of want to just jump back to the very beginning. When did you first, you know, discover that there was a hardcore scene in Las Vegas?
All right, so peep game, right? I've never hid who I was like when I was like a youngster. Like when I first started coming to shows or when I first started hearing like heavy music and shit, I was into very like mall metal shit, like mall metal bands like Slipknot and a lot of scene bands. Like a lot of the cats that I hung out with were like scene kids, you feel me? And like I just started listening to all that scene shit and I wanted to be a little scene kid myself. So I grew up being like a scene kid and shit. And then around 2013, 14, I started like hanging out with this dude. And his big sister would always like talk about, oh, well, Vegas has like local shows. Like these aren't just like fucking attack and all these weird ass fucking mall shit. Like there's local bands here, like bands that I wouldn't even care to name right now. These are bands that are like long gone, but I was like, oh word, like let's see, you know, like what's this about? And I went to my first show, which was some fucking random ass like metal bands from out here, and it was at the Southern Nevada Sports Center, a venue that no longer exists. But it was my first local show, and then I started going to more gigs after that, like Eagle. I seen Oceano there, fucking I Declare War, like this random ass big ass tour at this floor venue. And after that, a couple years passed, and I started going to Eagle and shit like that. And, you know, I started getting familiar with people. I meet a lot of my close friends that I know today, you know, a lot of these people. One of my homies, his name is Sean Wagner. He lives up in Chicago right now, but he actually comes down and plays bass for us. So he tries to like come and travel to do that. But he put me onto a lot of other bands, you know, like a lot of actual hardcore bands like Minority Unit and like Half Heart and shit like that. And after that, you know how it is, man, like you want to listen to more and more. So all I did was just figure out like artists, and I didn't really think that there was a hardcore scene here, like that type of hardcore, until I met up with a couple cats named the Pinas. Shout out my homegirl Jocelyn and Juan Pina. They were doing like these mainstream Eagle shows, but they were also going to Eastside Joe's. You're familiar with Eastside Joe's and shit like that, right?
Yeah, place is crazy.
Yeah, bro. Everybody talks shit like that fool Cricket from Risby Razor. That fool always be talking shit like saying like, damn, Eastside Joe's was so whack and this and that. Like everybody hated that venue. But when I first went there, it was Axis, Drown, and then a couple local bands. Acid Rain actually played there. And I loved it. I was like, I don't want to go to any other show that's not at Eastside Joe's. And I just started getting familiar with all the people that were in around that scene. And then it blew up, you know, like for me, you know, everybody started to take a liking to me. And I met Dustin a little bit later on. And then he just kind of put me under his wing. And then I fucking ended up working at his Jimmy John's for like a fucking year and a half, shit like that.
Damn, that's a throwback because he doesn't even work there anymore.
Bro, hell no, man. We're all long gone. We're all gone from fucking Jimmy John's. Like it's yeah. That was a crazy time.
You know what's crazy is I had Jimmy John's for the first time in Vegas because of you know, Dustin and Albert. When they used to work there, and yeah, I never heard of it before, but yeah, because of them, like that was the first time I ever had Jimmy John's.
Bro, these things are so insane, man. They tell me stories this predates like my time, like way long ago. But they talk about like shutting down like early and then going to a show and then coming back and closing the store. Like that's how dedicated these cats were to like just going to shows, bro. And like Aaron, that fool Aaron, fucking, he would tell me like, yeah, I never even worked at Jimmy John's, but I would go and help close up just so we can all go to the show. Like, and that's one of the reasons why I love this scene so much and why I care about those cats so much, is because they're down for the core. You feel me? Like not a lot of people are really down for the core like that, or like they say. And especially here, you know, this scene, I feel like it's a lot of people that kind of like they do it for their own like selfish reasons instead of like trying to build the city up, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Because I feel like it's such a unique place. So the fact that there's such a cool hardcore scene, I would always imagine that people would want to, you know, kind of unite and, you know, kind of like, you know, like be stoked to be able to have like an awesome scene in such a unique place, right? Because it's like an awesome place to be, right? You know, you can get into a lot of things in Las Vegas, but also, it's like a gateway to California, because everybody's like, you know, we want to get to California. We want to, you know, get to In-N-Out. We want to go to the beaches, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, most of the time they're going to be passing through Vegas or Arizona. You know, you'd think that, all right, well, cool, like let's make this a destination, which I feel like, you know, Black Path has, you know, done that like as of late. So I think it's really fucking cool.
Yeah, man, it's dope. And like, before a couple years back, let's say like 2017, 18 and shit, I'm 24. You feel me? I'm about to be 25 this year. And when I was around 18, 17, I was helping a couple cats, like the Pinas. That's who I used to surround myself with a lot, who introduced me to like just basically a mindset of like loving the city and like putting on for the city. And we used to book shit with a little thing called Solid Ground. And, you know, that was when the scene was like dark times. Like nobody wanted to come here. Like people were like, Vegas, what the fuck? Like what's in Vegas? Like nothing. Like, and there was some crazy things that happened around that time. Like Momentum, when they were getting like up, like when no one really knew about Momentum too much, they came and played my house when I was booking with that little thing. You know, they came and played my house with Revenge Season. Ooh, we don't want to talk about that though. Like, there's some crazy shit that be happening, you feel me? And I think I helped Drain with one of their first shows ever in Las Vegas. Like, my understanding is that was one of the first shows that they had ever played in Vegas. Like, they played in like a ranch with like horses and shit, and nobody was there, bro. Like, nobody. Maybe like 15 people were there. And they were cool with like taking whatever we got from the door. Like that was one of the first like Drain shows ever in Vegas. And now those fools are like selling out stadiums. And I think that shit's fucking cool.
Yeah. That band is like such a cool story to follow. Right. Yeah. Cause I remember I drove like just the next city over. They were playing with Dare for like Dare's like, you know, tape release. And, you know, I just got put onto Drain. And I was like, wow, this band's awesome. And then to be able to watch them just, you know, kind of just, you know, shoot off into the sky and become this, man, this big ass band. It's so cool to see. And it's it's one of those things where, like, you know, had some interactions with them and just, you know, just happy for them. Like it's cool. It seems like, you know, all their hard work is, you know, paying off and it's well deserved. So like when I see them, you know, announce that they're, you know, opening for Blink 182 in Denver, I'm like, that's fucking insane, but crazy, awesome. Bro.
Yeah, man. And it's, and you know what? A lot of people, they don't like that shit, bro. Like they don't like when bands blow up and they think like for a good example, Turnstile and shit, like people be hating on Turnstile, but it's like, them niggas made it, bro. Like they're really doing it, like what they wanted to do. They're making something that they love a career. And it's like, there's people who hate on that shit. That shit's corny. I think that shit's corny. I think people who hate on like Bane and Drain, even Tsunami, bro. Like, cause that fool Mike Durst, the homie and shit. And like they be hating on all these bands and making fun of them, but it's like those fools are making fucking racks playing hardcore. Like, that's a dream that we all fucking have. No matter what you want to do with hardcore or not, that's a dream. Like, everybody would love to make music playing. Like, everybody would love to make music and make money at the same time. You feel me? So I think that shit's crazy, man, that all these bands can play such small little places. And then out of nowhere, not only skyrocket, but then that scene also takes off in itself. And Drain been a band for a minute, bro. Like, it was crazy. Like, they've been a band for a minute. And I was like, damn, they want to play here? That shit's sick. Like, hell yeah. Like, and none of the people that I was booking around that time, they didn't want to have that show. They were like, well, we don't have no money. We don't have a venue. No one really knows who this band is. And I was like, well, I know. I'm a mosh. And I was like one of the only people that moshed like during that set. It was fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, well, it's cool that you were willing to take that chance, because now you have a cool story to tell about an awesome band. Because yeah, you know, like they're one of those bands that were, you know, willing to put in that hard work to, you know, get out there and hit the road, because it's not easy, right? You can be a band, but to actually get out there and play shows and you know, take the risk of hitting markets that might not be the best for you, you know, it's part of, you know, that growth. And I feel like it's a great way for bands to get exposure. It might not be the best thing in the moment, but I feel like long term, just to, you know, gain a couple of new fans, I feel like it's worth it in the end.
Hell yeah, that shit's sick, man. And you know, people, I feel like a lot of the young kids, they kind of miss that. And I feel like there should be people out there that like touring bands that kind of guide those bands and like younger bands into like touring, man, because it's cool to be local legends and shit. I'm perfectly fine with being a local legend. Like, I love that people pop off for our shows. It's very surprising when people, you know lyrics that I wrote when I was in jail or fucking singing shit back to me, you know. But at the same time, there's a lot of bands that maybe they do want to make it out past their cities, you know, and maybe they do want to fucking tour Europe or tour Japan. And I feel like people need to encourage those kids to like tour, man. Fuck it. even if you're gonna be broke as fuck, like tour, because somebody somewhere is gonna like that shit, you know. And that's, I feel like people are scared to take that chance.
100%. Yeah, I feel like if you know, you're able to, yeah, take that risk, because you know, the longer you wait, like I feel like the harder it's gonna get. So if you're a new band, it doesn't have to be a full U.S. tour. Do like a weekend, you know, hit a couple cities, and then just kind of build upon that. Because you know, you mentioned bands like Tsunami, like seeing that band, you know, just explode out of nowhere. You know, it wasn't just handed to them. They had to hit the road. You know, they're putting in the hard work, and just like Drain. Like I feel like, you know, those guys all deserve everything that they have, you know, coming for them. And once again, I'm happy to see it. Like they just did that tour with Kublai Khan. They did that short run in Texas, and they're about to go to Australia. Like,
they came and played here for that Sick New World.
Yeah, Sick New World. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So
they're doing crazy shit and ripping venues apart, man. It's just awesome.
Yeah, like they're like, I've seen that, dude. I went and saw them in Bogota last December, and that shit was that was mind blowing, because just being first time just leaving the country for hardcore, but then also just seeing kids going just as crazy in another country as they do like here in the States for Tsunami, like seeing the long mosh and going crazy. I was like, this is crazy.
You know that there's bands in like Indonesia that like cover them and shit, bro? Like not just them, but they'll cover like Drain and like Gulch and shit. Like there's crazy bro, Indonesia and like all those other countries, bro, they fuck with hardcore heavy, bro. Like that shit's cool to me, bro. That shit's sick.
100%. Yeah. And what you see when bands finally make it out to those kinds of places, like those kids really appreciate the shows, because they don't get them that often. So that's why I would try to encourage people, like, hey, you might be getting shows like every weekend, but don't take it for granted, because, you know, there's other scenes that would be, you know, dying to have what you have. So I always just try to, you know, just encourage people to support as much as they can, and you know, just kind of don't take it for granted just because, you know, it's happening so often, you know.
No, every time I'm gonna keep it real. Every time a tour hits here and it's like crazy bands, I think it's great, you know, for the city, man. Like I just love this city. Like my brother, I'm actually in my brother's room right now, so I'm faking the funk right now. This ain't my regular dwelling right now. But my brother, he fucks with the hardcore scene too, but he's not really, he ain't a hardcore kid. Like he fucks with more like punk rock music and like fucking Jimmy Hendrix. Like he's a hippie, man. He's okay. A fucking like dude, but he fucks with like all that shit. And he's really in tune with like the rap stuff right now. Like he's in tune with a lot of the rap like things, and yes, he knows a lot about that Kendrick Lamar shit right now that's going on, bro.
All right, I'm deeply invested.
But yeah, bro, I'm telling you, me too. All day at work, I've been hearing all that shit. I'm gonna send you a song later too that I heard that was crazy. Man, he fucks with the hardcore scene, but not only that, he shares his love with me with Vegas in itself. You feel me? Like we love this city. We just, you know, everybody, when they're born somewhere, obviously they love where they're born, unless you're like a fucking freak and you like hate wherever you're born for some weird ass reason. But me and my brother, like, we love this city. Like, we know that this city has something special, not just like in itself, but artists, clothes, graffiti, like everything about Vegas for some reason, it has its own special thing about it. And I really want, I'm gonna figure it out one day. You know, I'm still putting all the pieces together, but I love this city, man, and I always love this city. Like I don't see myself ever leaving, you feel me? I just love it too much.
Yeah, I need to get back out there for a hardcore show, because, you know, Dustin is you know, told me like, yo, like come out for the show, but it's just really hard with my schedule. But I told him, I'm like, yo, like whenever that Misericordium show happens, I don't care what day it's on, I'll be there.
Bro, who, you know what's crazy about that, bro? Like, what's crazy is that I run into Nick Pitaro a lot for some reason. Cause he be downtown and shit. And sometimes I'll go and like have to pay fines or fucking pay something or go to the courthouse. And I always run into that nigga, bro. It's crazy. But the thing about that is, oh, bro, people have been saying that shit for the longest, and I'm starting to lose hope a little bit. But I think it's going to happen. It'll happen when it happens. Like, it'll happen when it happens.
You know, Nick was on the podcast last year and you said it was going to happen. I don't know if he ever said it publicly, but he told me that it was going to happen. Like I thought there was going to be a date announced, but it just kind of fizzled away. So Nick, if you're hearing this, or Dustin or anybody, please get back on it. I would love to
press him, bro. I might have to press him, bro. Y'all got to press him, bro. We got to press Nick, bro. Be like, yo, quit fucking around. Like, let's get that shit going. Cause that shit would be sick. I would want to play that shit. Like, even though we're not that style of music, bro, I still, that's Vegas, bro. And I was a deathcore kid. So that's just, it's just perfect, bro. I can't even.
No, 100%. Back in the day, Ms. Accordion, they'd fit okay on any bill. Like it wasn't weird. They played all sorts of types of bills.
And people would fuck shit up, bro. And they always post throwbacks, like, and it's like, stop posting a throwback. Like, let's see the updated. Let's get all the young kids in there, bro. It would be very crazy to see them play like Legion or some shit, and then like all the young kids like have no idea what the fuck is happening because they're getting beat up by old people everywhere. Like, people, like, there's just like, this dude's fucking 45. He's fucking people up. Oh man. It would be crazy. It would be insane. And I can't wait till that happens. I know it's going to happen. I don't know when. It could be fucking 10 years from now. But when that shit happens, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, next time you cross paths with Nick, just kind of give him a little nudge. Just be like, hey, whatever happened to that show?
Nah, bro. I'm going to get mad. I'm gonna be like, you better fucking play that shit. I'm going to be like, y'all better fuck. Because they be practicing, bro. Like, he be posting that they be practicing and shit. And I'm like, yeah, y'all better play. Like, y'all gotta play all that shit. I'm trying to hear fucking D'Amato and shit. I'm trying to hear all types of crazy shit. And that's a big thing, too, right now, is that deathcore revival shit. Like, a lot of kids, it ain't my thing no more. Like, you kind of grow out of certain shit. I'm not hating on it. Mm-hmm. But it's not my thing, like, that whole deathcore revival shit. I'm going to keep it real, though. I've been listening to some little deathcore revival bands, and I'm like, this shit is crazy because there's so much 808s on this shit. Like, all they do is fucking add crazy 808s and crazy breakdowns. But that's a big thing, man, is like that fucking that slam shit, too. A lot of kids been doing a lot of like the slam revival shit. Like, people be doing, there's a slam band from out there. One of the young homies, like, he be trying to do that slam shit. And I'm like, hey, man, listen to fucking Foundation or some shit. Like, fucking, like. Like, listen to Allegiance, bro, and fucking start a band like that. Like, and then they're just like, yeah, bro, I just fucking love what's that band from out here? There's a slam band from out here. Cerebral Incubation, I think it's called.
I'm not even familiar. That sounds crazy.
Bro, yeah, they have like a slam band from out here called Cerebral Incubation. And they were supposed to play like a comeback show, but that band was super huge out here with like the slam kids. And like those fools be posting that shit like all the time. And that's Vegas, bro. Like, I respect it because it's Vegas, you know. Vegas has such a melting pot. That's what a lot of people don't call Vegas that no more because it's such an old head term. But it's really a melting pot, and it still is a melting pot. Like, you feel me? That a little Vegas history is like back in the day, like when gangs used to come from like Cali and like other places, they would come to Vegas and they would all start one gang. You would have like Crips and Bloods and that other shit. And then that's why they call it a melting pot. You feel me? Like, and Vegas really, truly still is a melting pot in the sense of like music wise, because we have punk music. We have doom metal music. The homie Eric and Plague Doctor, bro. Doom music. We got fucking power violence shit. The homies in Scrutiny, Anguish Cry. Like, they're doing all that fast shit. We got punk music. And then we just have fucking regular fucking hardcore music like us, like the tough guy shit. Then we have the homies, the little homies, Blush Hour. Those cats are really doing big. Shout out the young homie Ian. He plays in every single young band that they're starting, man. And like, he just wants to start bands. Mm-hmm. Like, he does not give a shit, man. And it's fucking, and I respect this kid so much, man. He really gets it. Like, he gets the love for Vegas, and it's like, you don't see that too often. You know, a lot of the young kids just come and want to dress up and put their clown music on, clown makeup on and shit. But he really is about it, man. There's a lot of kids out here that they get it, man, and a lot of old heads, they just kind of brush them off of their shoulder, like whatever. But it's like, nah, man, like this kid really gets it. Like this kid is the future. Like he is the future of the scene, you know? And it warms my heart, bro. It warms my heart.
Yeah. You kind of want to, you know, just let those kids know, like, hey, we're stoked to have you, because kids like that, that are that passionate, don't come around that often, right? So for someone like him to want to just start bands, because that's very important, right? Because it's, a very important piece to have is to have local bands, because that's going to be a key way to inspire people to be like, hey, like, this is doable. Like, this is right here in your backyard. You can do it too. So shout out to all the young kids doing cool stuff.
And that's the craziest part, is that's what made me want to like be a part of the scene, because a lot of the cats that got me into the stuff were like, hey, look, like when I first started like going to shows, I was always like, yo, these guys are too cool for me. And like, these dudes are like fucking, they're rock stars. Like I thought everybody was a rock star, bro. Like, I thought every single person that I met that played in bands was like a fucking rock star. And then one day I met my guitarist, my second guitarist. His name is Justin Hool, bro. And his brother's name is Andrew Hool, bro. They've been playing in bands like since before my time. And they played in a band called Keepsake out here. And I seen Keepsake and I was like, I don't know what this is, but I think it's awesome and I love it. And these fools, all they wanted to do was fucking practice and go to fucking Roberto's. Like, these fools were just regular niggas, bro. Like, they just wanted to do regular shit, like go to the mall, fucking go to Sam Ash. Like, and when I started kind of hanging around those cats, they were like, yeah, bro, you should start a band too. Like, why don't you start a band? Like, or why don't you fucking come with us to California? Do you remember a place in California? You know that band Frustrated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That fool of Pierce Webster, I think that's his name, right? The drummer of that, he had like a thing called Dad's Den.
Yeah, the Dad's in Marietta. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bro. So one year they were like, well, this is going to be Dad's Den's last show. And it was like that big ass, it was like a big ass show. And he had like a bunch of bands playing at his house, like for the last time ever. He was like, well, everybody was like, well, why don't you come with us to fucking the Dad's Den last show? We're playing this shit. And I went, bro. And what I really learned from these cats, bro, is that they're regular people, man. Like, they got the AMPM app. Bro, shout out the AMPM app. One time getting free shit all day.
Get the little scratch off.
Oh, man, that shit's great. Getting burgers for free. But they were just regular people, man. And after that, I was like, man, nobody's a fucking rock star. Like, these are just regular ass people. Like, they just love music. And it's like, that's what made me want to do that too, you know? And I kind of I dabbled in bands a little bit, but I didn't really start. Like, this Thousand Ways to Die shit is like my first ever like band that I have complete freedom of creativity. Like, I can figure out the artwork, I can name the songs, I can write the lyrics for the songs. All the other shit is James. Like, that's my one of my best friends who visited me the most in jail and kind of gave me everything that was happening over the jail phone. Like, he would come and see me and be like, yeah, this is happening in this scene. And I would just fucking be mad as fuck. Like, man, these motherfuckers wouldn't do that shit if I was out right now. Like, you know, but he wrote all the instrumentals and we all kind of toy with it a little bit. And he just kind of gives me the complete freedom to write lyrics. And it's cool, man. It feels good, you know, to kind of get what I have to say out there. And it gives me a chance to kind of talk my shit, you know? Like, yeah, everybody can talk shit on Twitter or talk shit on Instagram, whatever. But it's like, man, I would rather get on stage and speak my truth, you know, and let people know how I feel without hiding how I feel, especially about the scene and the people in the scene. And it just gives me a chance to talk shit, man. It's great.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great thing to know, like, the power of your voice, because I feel like I enjoy listening to bands with something to say more than bands that just, you know, say cool shit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't try to just like say, like, I don't try to like follow the crowd, you know. Obviously everybody loves breakdowns and shit. I love breakdowns. Who doesn't like breakdowns and shit? But at the same time, I like I like telling things about people, you know. I like, it's hard to really tell the truth about how you feel without it sounding corny, but I figured out a way, you know. I figured out, like, why don't I just say what I'm feeling, and then it comes out the way I need it to come out. And people, it's been received well by people, you know. People listen to it, people care about it, you know. People ask me, like, when is the merch gonna come out? And I'm like, fucking merch? I'm like, first of all, we got a fucking EP that's gonna come out. I'm like, what the fuck gives a shit about merch? Like, I keep telling people, you know, wait for the music, wait for when we come out with some fucking music, and people are gonna change their minds about that merch, you know.
And you know, you mentioned a couple times about you being locked up, which you know, I've never gone through that, but I'm just curious for your you know, time being locked up. You know, how did you get through it mentally? Because, you know, when I think about just kind of being stripped away of, like, your freedom, like, I just imagine it being really tough.
Oh man, you know, it sucked really bad. Nobody wants to be in jail ever. But I just thought of shit, man. Like, I just thought of music, I thought of riffs, and then I would, like, call my brother on the phone, and I would tell him to play shit. Like, I would tell him to play, like, fucking, I think I told him to play a girl song, like, 1,000 times. Like, I called my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time. I told her to play a lot of All the Cold World, like, Leaving Messages and shit. Like, I would just try to listen to shit over the phone. But it's hard, man. It's really hard, especially when you know, when you sit in there for about a month and you, all the stink of the streets, like you don't smell like being home anymore. You smell like jail. Like, you smell like fucking white bar soap and shitty ass fucking toothpaste and coffee. And you're like, damn, I'm not going to leave for like a long time. It kind of, it's like a reality check, man. And I got a lot of those when I was in there, and it kind of humbled me. You know, I think of things differently now. I feel like it was like a second growth spurt, like a second. I feel like I went through puberty again, if that makes sense. Like, because I came out, I went in there like 115 pounds, and I came out 170 pounds of just fucking lean, fucking fat dude. And but it was like a second. It was like a chance for me to grow up again. You know, I kind of thought of things. I read the Bible a lot. Everybody reads the fucking Bible when they're in jail. But I try to take a lot of lessons from that. And I really didn't think that I was going to come out. I thought I was going to go to prison for the rest of my life. But the cards were in my favor, you know, and I was able to get a second chance here out in the streets. So when I came out, you know, I was looking at things, you know, I was happy. You know, now I look at things a lot happier, a lot more positive. I'm not like a positive. I'm not like a PMA dude. I'm not one of those people. But I definitely look at things as a more like, hey man, it could be worse. Like, I could be going to prison right now, you know, and I'm out in the streets. I'm fucking drinking beer. I'm on a fucking podcast talking about something that I love. You feel me? And I just don't take things for granted as much as I used to. You know, I'm not as like, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Let me do some drugs. Like, I'm more like, you know, this is good. Like, I'm about to have a baby. My son is almost coming soon in about like a week or so.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Yeah, man. So it's a lot. My life is a lot better than it was 2 years ago, for sure. You feel me?
That's cool. Well, I'm happy that you were able to, you know, dodge that life sentence. That's crazy. Cause you know, I feel like you could be a lot more miserable knowing that you'd never get out.
Yeah. I could be in prison. And I could be fucking putting things in my ass and fucking like hiding drugs and doing all types of just stupid ass shit, you know, and I'm glad that I'm not, and I'm working. I got a good job. That's all I really care about right now is like my wife and this band, you know, and the city. Those are the three things that I care about. My family, the band, and the city. The love for the city will always be there, like, no matter what. And when I was actually in jail, you know, I used to get into arguments with people like who were from different cities. Like, I got into an argument with some dude who was from fucking like Indianapolis or some shit like that. Because he was talking about like, oh, well, L.A. is crazy and this, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I have no doubt that L.A. is a crazy place. And I have respect for California because I have a lot of people that live over there. I got family that live over there. I have respect for California. But there are people that come from California or like other places and they say like Vegas is watered down. Vegas sucks. There ain't nothing in Vegas. And it's like, well, you're in Vegas, you know, like. You're locked up in Vegas. Like you can't, how are you going to say all these things about a city you're locked up in? Like, obviously you're going to feel sore about a city you're locked up in because those police are the ones that caught you. But I used to get into arguments all the time about that. I used to be like, nah, man, like Vegas is great. Like Vegas is a cold city, man. Vegas is a very vast, vast, dirty, stinky, rotten fucking place. And I love every bit of it. I love it all with all of its flaws, all of its pros and cons. I fucking love Vegas. And a lot of people don't share that same love, you know, and they fucking move away or they move back to where they're from. And I feel like that's, I feel bad for you. You know, like I feel bad that you didn't get to enjoy the things that I enjoy.
100%. No, I have a ton of great memories. You know, in Las Vegas, and I'm hoping to get back there soon. Just honestly, like went there for a show. Was it like about a month ago at this point? But it was like a concert, not like a hardcore show. It was like a concert. It was a real quick thing. But then before that, like I like randomly drove out there for lunch. Like it was during the pandemic. Me and my buddy Garrett were like, dude, we're so bored. Like, what are we going to do? And I was like, I have a crazy idea. So I called up Aaron. I'm like, yo, like, what are you doing today? And he's like, there's literally nothing to do. Like, why? I'm like, dude, like, let's get food at Cracker Barrel. So me and my buddy from out here, we just drove to Cracker Barrel and met up with Aaron and ate food in the parking lot. It was the most like random thing, but we were just like losing our minds out here.
Man, Cracker Barrel, I haven't been to Cracker Barrel in like years, bro. Like, holy shit. Like, Cracker Barrel fire, bro. They got that fucking pot roast. I think the last time I was there was like around the time that I was first starting to smoke weed and shit. So I went and I went with some girl, you know, like just ran on like some random shit. And it was so funny because I was at Cracker Barrel and this girl was trying to talk to me. But this is like the third time I've ever smoked weed. So I'm sitting there fucking just slamming down this fucking the pot roast that they got, and she's talking, and she's like meep, 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 and like asking me questions, and I'm like, I was like I don't give a shit, like I'm eating this food right now, like, man, like it's that type of shit, man. You get into a lot of crazy shit like that, like weird stories. I got a story that I really wanted to tell, like, okay. On this, you know. Oh, now come on in real quick. Yo, check this out. This is my brother right here.
What's going on, man? Nice to meet you. I'm Julian, man.
What's up, man? I'm Jamie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, man. Sorry to interrupt, man.
No, you're all good. You're all good.
I'm in his domain right now.
Yeah. I just got back from work right now. No. I like your room, though, man. You see, I'm a man of the same type of thing, man.
Hell yeah. No, yeah. I'm digging all the posters.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah, he has some crazy shit. But
yeah, I'll leave you guys to it, though, man.
All right, nice meeting you.
Oh, yeah, the crazy shit that you could get into Vegas, like for me, when so it's cool that we have all these weird venues. Vegas, we don't have a lot of solid venues. That's the cool thing. It's cool, but it's not cool at the same time because a lot of bad apples that kind of like to ruin venues for people who really care about the scene, like Outlook Fanzine, fucking 1-800 Deadass. All those cats that like really they grind, man. Like Dustin, he did a crazy job at like finding Legion and like stamping it for Black Path. Like Vegas, that, and it's a VFW. Like, who doesn't love a fucking VFW?
That's like a throwback.
Yeah, bro. Cheap drinks, good times, good hangs, and it's all ages. You know, that's really hard to find in Vegas, is like all age venues. And but I remember one specific time. This is when I was really bad into the powder. I was in Berlin Bar, which is a bar downtown. I have no idea if it's still a bar anymore, but Outlook Fanzine, they booked, I think, Choir Boy and a couple other bands. And it was like a mixed bill, mixed crowd of people. And I had, downtown is like where a lot of the cats, like this, that's where like the graffiti is at. Like that's where people go and fucking, you could do graffiti and people don't fucking really bat an eye because it's like the art district, you know? So I'm walking around and I didn't want to pay $8 for one fucking beer, you know? I was like, there is no way I'm paying like $8-$9 for one beer. So I walked down the street on Charleston and Las Vegas Boulevard, got me a six pack from the Chevron, fucking tossed it over the fence to the homie Gabe from Chasm, also Misdirection, the NWA of Vegas, low key. But I passed my fucking six pack over, and then not only that, but I had a little bag of like the white powder on me. So I'm sitting in the bathroom. A band is playing outside. The bar has music going, and I have music playing on my phone. And I'm sitting in this bathroom, like just trying to do lines and shit. Like, and I think that was around the times where I kind of realized maybe I should focus, like I should turn my focus back to hardcore, you know, and I should not get it trapped in my own ways. And then I got locked up like 2 weeks later, man, and it sucked, you know, because that was around the time where I was really gonna stop fucking around and really kind of try to start a band. And I really was trying to start this Thousand Ways to Die shit like 3 years ago, and I was caught up in like all the shit that I was doing. Like that's how grimy Vegas is. Like that's how crazy Vegas people can like be, and it breaks my heart because some people choose the wrong path, you know. But what are you gonna do, you know?
Yeah, well, luckily you're able to, you know, make it out so far, and you know, it seems like you're kind of on a good path right now, right? You finally have the band, you have a family, you mentioned good job, so I feel like maybe it's just all part of your story. Which, you know, it's not always going to be good, but, you know, at least you got through like a rough patch, and now, you know, you're able to kind of, you know, hopefully move into like the better parts of your life.
Oh yeah, and that's the lore. That's something that's like a new term that I've been hearing a lot, is like the lore. And I'm like, damn, I guess I have lore. Like I don't know, like maybe I guess I got lore. That's more than whatever. Like these are just fucking stupid ass stories that I would tell at NA meetings, but. I don't know, man. It's great, man. And I'm really happy with the scene. I'm really happy with just the people that I surround myself with. You know, when I came out of jail, I really was like, you know what? I told everybody, like, it was Black Path's 5-year anniversary. And that was the show that was going to happen like a little bit after I came out. And everybody kept asking me, hey, man, are you going to go? Are you going to go? And I was telling everybody, like, nah, I'm not going to go to that. Like, I want to be home with my family. I want to be out of the spotlight for a little bit. And then lo and behold, James convinced me. And he was like, yo, man, just go. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going. Just don't tell nobody. And I showed up and I made it on fucking Fools Gone Wild moshing at that fucking show. Like, it was like the most random thing ever, you know, that Instagram page of Rising Goes Ham, I think it's called. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
So I guess they go to shows, bro, like everywhere, like in Cali and Vegas. They came out to that because Mind Force and I think Drain was playing. I'm not sure who was playing, but they came and they filmed videos of like the show that was happening, and then they posted it. And it blew up. And then Fools Gone Wild posted a video of me moshing. And they put like fucking Last Resort as the background. Like, and I was like, this is not what I wanted. Like this, I just wanted to go and mosh and have a good time. And it was crazy, man. And ever since then, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking focus on just the music. You know, I want to focus on the hardcore scene because I feel like this is the perfect time to do it because there's a good crowd. People are going to love what I hear. And it gives me a chance to put on all the young kids to like things that I like, you know, like a lot of the crazy bands that I listen to every single day, and like Hatebreed and like Sworn Enemy and fucking Hunter Demons, like I post all that shit, or I'll tell people about like, hey, listen to this song, go listen to fucking Heavy Lies the Crown by All Out War, like, and kids dig that shit, and it, and you could tell that it changes their mindset on like the music that they want to play, and it influences them a lot, and it's great. I think that's cool, you know. It gives me a chance to do that, and I'm glad that I could do that.
100%. No, I think that that's an important role to play, because I always tell people like, hey, if I didn't have, you know, the older people kind of guiding me and showing me bands that I'd never even heard of, you know, I don't know what my taste in music would be like, or if I would have even figured out about some of these older bands, or, you know, just been on it. So when those bands, you know, came back and did reunions, I was already aware. So I always think it's, you know, important to, you know, just to kind of nudge, like, you know, younger kids or newer kids, and just, you know, in like, you know, hey, like, check out this older band, you might like it, or hey, I see you like this newer band, you know, they kind of got their sound from this older band, you should check it out, you might be into it, you know.
Hell yeah, bro. And you know, it's crazy, because that's what Dustin was to me. Like, that's what Dustin was, that's what Aaron. Okay, look, I have one thing to say about Aaron, bro.
Okay.
Aaron, when you try to talk to Aaron in like a social setting, he's very like kind of like dismissive. I love him to death. He lives right here down the street from my house. Like, he's like one of the East Siders. Him and Albert. Like, I live on the East Side of Vegas.
Okay.
And like the East Side gets like a bad rep because it's like, oh, the ghetto side. It's not the ghetto. We are not ghetto over here. This is like a fine. This is like a mid part of town. I love the East Side, but Aaron, when you try to talk to him like in like a social setting, like, he cracks his jokes and he's like whatever. But I've had encounters with Aaron where he has driven me to a lot of shows. He has given me rides to shows. Every single time I need a ride to a show, he is so down to pick me up. And he has put me up on game on not just like Vegas bands, but just like a mindset to have towards younger kids, or the scene, or like if I feel angry about a certain person, or like if I feel angry about a certain group of people, he kind of tells me like, hey man, like, fuck them, like, we're doing our thing, like, you know. He's very fucking crazy. He said he drops gems on me like all the time, and I'm glad that I had the right people to guide me to where I am, and I really hope that I am that same guidance to like certain people, you know. And Dustin put me on to crazy bands, bro, like Caliban. Like, he put me on to Caliban. He put me on to fucking Cast Aside, bro. Cast Aside is one of my like biggest influences, not just like sound and like lyric wise. Like, I really want to sound that shit's tough, bro. Like, I want to be, it's so hard. You cannot be that fucking tough. Like, you can't be that fucking tough, bro. Like, that band is so insane. And I still listen. That shit's like one of my daily fucking, I spin that shit all the time. Like, the self-titled, all that shit's sick. And I really hope to God, like, one day I can be that for the younger generation. Like, oh, this fool put me on, or this fool fucking showed me this. And you know, one day I'm not going to be here. You feel me? I always say like, oh, I'm going to live forever. Like, oh, whatever. Like, I'm just going to live forever. I don't care. But one day I'm not going to be here. And one day a lot of kids are going to have to figure out things without me. And I really hope that I could plant the seed in their head. Like, okay, well, I was warned about this, or I was told about this, and this is how we need to deal with this. And it's just crazy. I got a lot of love for those cats, man. Like, I really do.
Yeah, no, I feel like you're lucky to have those guys, because I truly respect Aaron, because being a young kid and just hearing about his involvement in the Las Vegas hardcore scene in the like the early days, and just for him to just be one of those guys that is down for life, right? He's true. He stuck around through all the generations. He wasn't in it for popularity, or, you know, it wasn't a trend for him. He's like a legit hardcore dude, and for him to just even hear you speak the way you do about him, that truly it gets me like stoked on him even more, because he was like one of my favorite people like that I've met in Vegas, right? Like those guys that I named, like, you know, been, you know, stoked on them forever, but just, he was always, just down to go out of his way to help, like, these out-of-towners, you know, that just wanted to get to Vegas. Cause, you know, I remember, I can't remember what show it was, but I was just like, yo, like, can I crash at your place for this show? And he's like, yeah, like, I got you, get to town. He booked a hotel room, you know, for me and some homies just so that we would have a place to stay. And like, you know, like for him to do that just out of the kindness of his heart. And like, dude, like we were like young broke kids back then. So for him to do that, it was just something that I'll never forget. And then even like, you know, for them to not only be down for Las Vegas, but dude, they drive out to, you know, California for shows and, you know, they're always down to support. So it's just like, yeah, like hearing you speak so highly of them, like, yeah, that's just awesome. And it just, you know, reminds me that like, you know, that is who they are. Like they are, like, you know, good, respectable, like, you know, people and who are really down for hardcore.
They do that shit for the love of the game. Like that's the bona fide, like downright way to say, like straight up way to say it, is that they're down for it for the love of the game. Like this shit's a game, man. Like people need to realize that shit. Like you gotta do certain shit to like move a certain way, or you gotta, it's not even because of looks or fucking the way people think. Like they just love this shit to the bone. And it's crazy to see, because that makes me want to be like that. Like that makes me want to fucking be like, well, like when I got out of rehab after I got out of jail. So I did 6 months in county and then I went to rehab for about 2 months. And when I got out and when I started really realizing, like, you know what? I really want to focus on this scene. I would tell Albert, I would tell Aaron, I would tell Dustin, like, what can I do? Like, besides start a band, what can I fucking do to just help the scene? Like, not just grow, but just what can I do to keep it healthy and keep it alive? And they gave me advice. They didn't really give me advice. They just kind of were like, well, just show up and mosh and go hard and this and that. And I'm like, fuck, man, like, I just feel like everything that I do isn't enough. Like anything that I fucking do to try to like just make sure the scene is healthy, I feel like I could always do more. And I still try to do more. I'm a little busy now, you know, I don't got a lot of time to do a lot of things, but I just want the scene to be healthy. I just want the scene to be good. I want people to see the scene. I want bands to come to town and be like, this is fucking insane. And that shit goes without saying. Like people come to town and they're like, yeah, this is fucking awesome, you know? And it's great. And I think I'm doing all right. I think I'm doing all right getting on stage. And I get on stage and smoke cigarettes and blow it in people's faces. And people love that shit, man. People are like, bro, you guys had a great set. Like, and it's like, damn, bro, I just fucking blew cigarette smoke in your face. And you're like straight edge and shit. Like, I think that's a cool thing that I have that influence. And like that influence on people. You feel me? It's great.
And I'm just curious, blowing smoke in the face, not to be disrespectful, but you're just doing it because it's part of the show, or are you doing it? Or
oh, it's crazy. Yeah. Okay, so people always ask me, like my brother, he's very into like culture, like just any type of culture, just like pop culture, or like comedy and stuff like that. And me and him really enjoy Doug Stanhope. Like you know who Doug Stanhope mm-hmm. is, like the yeah. comedian, yeah, bro. So we really, that fool, he found a loophole where you could smoke inside if it's part of your act. Like, oh, it's a prop. Like, I get to smoke inside. Like, I can smoke. So he sits there and chain smokes. And people, he asked me, he's like, well, who do you try to be on stage? And I tell him, like, straight up, like, I try to be me. Like, I want to be me. Like, I want to be myself. Like, I want to not try to imitate nobody. But I think it's cool that Doug Stanhope gets to smoke on stage. So you know what? One day I was like, man, I'm a fucking smoke on stage. And it is part of that. And it helps me just kind of relax and mellow out and feel the music more. And yeah, this is, I guess it could be part of the performance a little bit, you know, but people enjoy that shit. People dig it, man. And it's crazy. People come up to me like, were you smoking on stage? And I'm like, no, like it's part of the act. But it's like, really, I'm having a fucking panic attack. Like, I have bad anxiety, you feel me? Like, I don't care. Everybody, no matter what, whenever you get on stage in front of people, you're going to have fucking shit your pants a little bit. Like, and when I smoke cigarettes, I feel like that calms it down. Like, That's one of the things that I have. I can't really, I'm going to keep it. I shouldn't even be drinking, but I can't smoke weed. I can't fucking take pills. I can't do coke, you know, cigarettes and the nicotine is all I got, you know? So, but fuck it. If I get a chance to smoke inside, I'm going to go steal an ashtray from fucking the bar and I'm set it on stage and I'm a smoke, you know, and people are going to have to deal with that. And they do, and they care. They love it. They think it's funny, but I think I got to chill out on it, you know, because it's, I feel like everybody kind of gets mad at me for smoking cigarettes on stage. You know, it's not like smoking weed, you know, cigarettes stink and they smell bad, but I mean, hey man, it helps me perform better. It helps me get into the zone a little bit better.
Okay. And you know, we've talked so long and I haven't even had a chance to really ask you about the band. Can you talk about, okay, you know, you make it out, you get through rehab. How does the band come together?
So James Villa, that's one of my bestest friends. He visited me a lot when I was in jail, more than my family, which is crazy. I used to tell my family, hey, don't come visit me. Like, I don't want you to see me in a fucking, in a jumpsuit and all types of stupid ass shit. But James, every single month, he would come and visit me and fucking torture me with fucking things that are happening in the scene. And I'm like, man, I hate you, but you know, I love him. And he's one of the people that is just like me and my brother, you know, and he cares about the city. He knows that the city has something special. And we wanted to start this band for a long time. You know, we had Bryson from one of the old drummers from Roman Candle from out here. He was going to be in the band a long time ago. And, you know, we all kind of were busy. We never really took it seriously. And when I came out, I was like, let's write a couple songs and let's just put them out, or just write a couple songs and see if anybody would be down to jam. And James was fronting a band called Dredge from out here. And his drummer is a good friend of ours named Mason. And Mason was like, you know, I'll drum for it. Like, that shit's cool. Like, I think that shit's cool. Like, it's different. Like, I want to drum for it. So practicing here and there. And it was just me, James, and Mason. And then later on, we were like, well, damn, like, we kind of need a bassist. Like we definitely need a bassist or like another guitar. And Justin Houle, who he just loves playing. Those fools love playing music. Like, they don't give a fuck what it is. Like, they low-key just love core so much that they love playing guitar. Like, they love guitar. So he was like, yeah, fuck it, like, I'll play with you guys. And then Andrew was like, yeah, I'll play too, like, fuck it, I'll play bass or I'll play second guitar. And then after a while, we were just like, all right, cool. We played our first show, which was a friend of ours, Alex Hunt's first, like, his little birthday show. We played our first show and we got a good reaction, you know, and we were like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, let's just keep it a band. Let's just make it a band. And James writes all the shit. James is a fucking crazy man. Like, he learned how to play guitar and he ran with, like, he picked up a guitar and like just straight sprinted with it and like writes the craziest shit. And he's one of the people that when you get influenced from a band, the best way to go about it is just let the influence come out naturally. Like, don't try to be like, oh, I want to sound like this band or I want to sound like that band. We need the riff from Marauder. We need the riff from this band. It's like, nah, bro. The influence comes out naturally. And he's one of the people that really just lets the influence flow. And he's written some of the craziest stuff. Like the EP, on the download, I'll send you the EP fully. And okay. And I got you. And he wrote all that stuff. And then, you know, we just kept playing and we really took it seriously. And I thought A Thousand Ways to Die was a good name for a band. Like, there's no band that really has that name that matters. So I was like, well, okay, I'll take it. And I thought about changing the name a few times, but it wouldn't be us. Like, if we changed the name, it wouldn't be us. I feel like it would be something else. And so we just stuck with it. We stuck with Thousand Ways to Die. We put a Z in it. We put a number 2 in it. It's fucking multiple syllables. It turns heads a little bit. And we started playing shows. And, you know, it's crazy because a lot of other bands from, like, different states are like, dude, we got to get you out to fucking here. And we got to get you out to there. Whenever you guys want to play this city, just hit me up. And it's crazy. You know, I didn't really think that people were going to really take us seriously like they did. And we were like, fuck it, let's take it seriously ourselves. We're just doing it, like I said, like what everybody else does is for the love of the game. We just do it for the love of the game. And people like that shit. People dig that shit.
Yeah, and I'm stoked you guys went with J-Rugs for the art. How did you land on him? Because he killed it.
You know, it's crazy because James sent me his page. And he was like, well, maybe we should fucking ask him for some art. And I was like, this shit's fucking awesome. I was like, this shit's sick. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I love this shit. And I hit him up and I bought one of his little pre-mates, man. Shout out J-Rugs for real, man. And he really digs the band too. And that fool's one of the fools that he's down for the core, you know, and he really fucks with the core. Not just core, but art. Like, he is a bona fide artist. Like, he is a crazy artist. And I just fucked with it. And I paid for one of the artworks and we used it, and we're probably gonna use that shit for like a little shirt later on. You feel me? Like, we bought it. I'll probably buy another one too because I want to support him. You know, I want his career to grow as well. You know, I want other bands to go to that guy because he helped our band. You know, he helped our band with our little demo artwork, and I want other bands to fucking be like, yeah, this fool has good artwork.
100%. And also, I'm curious too. You guys, you know, released a tape through Criminalized. Here in California, which, you know, they put out you know, sick tape. So I'm just curious how that relationship came together.
Well, we just played that big ass fest with Death Before Dishonor and shit. And I know people. I don't like to introduce myself to a lot of people because I feel like, you know, people are a little too cool for me. You know, like I just feel like they're like, I hold people to a big standard. You know, I went from, oh, this dude's just another dude in a band, to like, oh, this dude's a rock star. Like, I think these people are rock stars. Like, those fools in Human Garbage and Section Hate, like, they're OGs, you know? And they always hung around, like, Eddie and, like, Aaron. And they knew everybody, you know? So I never really introduced myself because I'm just, like, I'm a small guy, you know? I'm just a wee lad. Like, I'm nobody to them, you know? But Aldo from Human Garbage, I think he caught our set. From what my understanding is, I think he caught our set at the Death Before Dishonor show. And, you know, he really fucked with it and he wanted to, like, help propel it. You know, I've never really had that conversation with him, but I feel like they just fucked with our stuff and they wanted to put tapes out. And it's our style, you know, like the demo is a tape style tape. And they did it and we ended up doing it. And it's cool, man. I think it's great. Because I really love a lot of the California cats. Like, California, I have so much respect for California because it's so big. And it's Vegas is small, but it's vast. But California is big and vast. And that's a big difference. Like, that's a huge difference. California is so sick, man. I have so much respect for all the California dudes and all the California bands. And it was cool that they took that chance on us. And they were like, yeah, let's fucking release it. And that shit sold out in a day. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people in Vegas didn't get that shit. And they're asking me about it. They're like, yo, is there any more tapes? And I was like, if you didn't catch it, you didn't catch it. Like, that's on you, you know? You got to get your money right to buy the sold out shit, you know? And I think that's what it was, you know? I think they caught our set and they really fucked with it.
Yeah, and it must be a good feeling too, right? To know that those tapes sold, that, you know, people out there, you know, were tapped in enough to be like, all right, cool, like we got to pick this up.
Dude, what? Criminalized? Bro, I thought, because Criminalized, that's like a West, like, I grew up on the West Coast, you feel me? I enjoy a lot of East Coast stuff, a lot, but it was such a, I think it's perfect. I think it fits perfect. I think we fit perfectly on, like, something that's from the West Coast, from California. I think it just fits perfect with the style, you know? And I even talked to James. I'm like, well, shit. Like, and this was like months before we had ever like thought about releasing anything on anything. We were kind of just like lollygagging, like, yo, what record label would you want to be on? And I were like, what would you want to release stuff on? Or like, and we were just kind of shooting shit back and forth. And I was like, for real though, like, I fuck with Criminalized. Like, I bought that, the little Felix chain. Like, I had been wearing it for a while. And I was like, yeah, bro, I'm Criminalized, bro. Like, I'm team Criminalized. Like, I don't even fuck. And then it was just crazy. It was almost like a dream come true when they were like, yo, yeah, you guys want to release tapes? I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, it gives people the name people are going to see that and they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, what's this band? You know, there's people out there that just go through people's Instagrams or they go through Spotify or they go through websites and they just try to find new music. And it gives us a chance for other people to see us. And it's cool. It's just like an exposure thing. And it was like a dream come true. I really have a lot of respect for those cats, for real.
Yeah, no, when I saw that, I was stoked. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, that's a good, platform for you guys to release that tape through. And yeah, just knowing that it sold out. Yeah, I'm stoked for you guys because it definitely just shows that, you know, people know the name and they're paying attention. So, I'm stoked that it came through, especially that it came through naturally. I feel like that's always like, you know, makes things a lot better too.
It adds to it. Yeah. Like, We didn't, because there's, you know, you could always send your demo to somebody or like be like, yo, listen to this, like this is my band, you know, but they really came. He asked us, and that was the best part, you know, like because we're very prideful, I guess, or humble. Like, we don't want to like be like those like torturous people, like torment people and be like, hey, listen to my music or fucking listen to this and. We want to be on that, you know. We didn't, you know, and for them to reach out to us, it was a huge honor. Like, we didn't think nobody took us that seriously, you know. And when Criminalized wanted to take us seriously for real, like, I mean, it's not the craziest thing in the world, it's just a tape, but for them to take us seriously enough to like put the time in to like make the tapes and like probably take money out of his pocket to like make those tapes, it made us feel like, man, like people take us seriously, like we should take this seriously because we just want to be local legends. That's really it. Like we want to be like fucking like Folsom was a fucking local legend. Like if we're being honest, they didn't make it nowhere as Folsom, but they're spiritual world now. Like, but Folsom is still crazy. Like, there is no band in the world that sounds like Folsom. And I tell everybody, like, if you can find a band that sounds like Folsom, I'll give you $1,000. Like, straight up, like, out of my pocket, like, find a band that sounds like Folsom. And it's like, they are their own sound. And that's one of the things that we want to be with this band is, like, we want to be traditional. We want to do certain things and that sound a certain way. But we want our things to be, like, that's 1,000 Ways to Die. Like, that's us. That is a reflection of us as James as a musician, Justin as a musician, Mason as a musician, and then me as a vocalist. Like, I want to be my own style. Like, I want to talk about certain things that happened to me that has happened to nobody else. You feel me? Like, so it was a huge honor, and I'm very excited, you know, for the future and what the future holds.
And, you know, I want to, you know, kind of pivot to, you know, you mentioned this EP. Is there a, you know, time frame for when it's going to come out? Do you guys have a rollout plan?
Oh, that's the best part. That's the best part. Fuck no. We're going to release that shit when it's ready. I'm not going to try to announce it. I'm not going to try to nothing. We're just going to release that shit. We're waiting on a feature right now from a person I shall not name right now. Okay. A band from California. But I'm really excited for him to be on the EP because the song is crazy. The subject matter of the song is insane. And it's gonna turn heads. Like, that song itself is gonna turn heads, like, not maybe not like crazy heads, like famous people or like record labels, whatever, but it's definitely gonna turn heads in the city, and that's what I really want to do. Like, I want that EP to like show that we're a fucking band. I'm in this city. This is like our city, and we're here to fucking stay, and we're not going anywhere. And man, like, people keep asking me, like, they're like, yo, when is the release the EP already? And I'm like, man, fuck that. Like, you can't rush perfection, man. Like, that shit gonna come out when it comes out, and it's gonna be good, man. I think it's gonna be great. I don't want to hype it up too much, because what if it comes out and people are disappointed? But I think it's gonna be good. You know, I'm definitely gonna be proud of it. And I wouldn't want to release anything that I'm not proud of or we're not proud of, you know, so it's going to come out soon, though, for sure.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm curious, are you familiar with the band Fading Fast?
Yes, bro. What? That, you know, who put me onto that shit? Fucking Aaron talked to me about that shit. He was like, yeah, bro, like, he would always tell me about stuff. Fading Fast, fucking Curl Up and Die and all that shit. You know what's crazy is that I'm still learning, man. Like, I'm not like one of these like encyclopedias of like hardcore that knows every single thing. which is great because I love learning about new bands, and I love learning about new bands, especially that are from Vegas, you know? And when Aaron put me onto that shit, that's like all I listened to for like a week and shit. Like that shit's awesome. Like that's like its own style too, you know? So it's crazy. Yeah. That I'm definitely familiar with that shit.
Yeah. I want to see like a tour with like Thousand Ways to Die, Fading Fast, like, you know, two Vegas bands. I feel like that would be pretty sick to like, just like Storm Through the West or, you know, something cool.
You know, would be, you know, that is crazy. That sounds crazy. But also like, fuck, man, like those dudes are like, that's like such an OG style. Like, I feel like we're not good enough for that. Like, we're just not good enough to like uphold that fucking, you know, the way they are. Like, even like if like how we were talking about like Misericordium playing a show again, like even if we were on that bill, I would want to just like open that shit and just like just play first and like just get it out of the way. Like, cause they're just, those bands are, they're like gods to me. Like all these bands, like a band that is crazy that is just in that same category, that Dustin probably, he gonna hate this shit, bro. But I think Suffer the Loss is one of the greatest bands from Vegas like ever. And he hates that shit. And you know what, bro? Like, they're gods to me, man. Like those Fading Fast, like all the Curl Up and Dies. Those cats are just gods to me. And like even the Folsoms, like all those dudes, like they're just somebody that I hold so high, you know, because hey man, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't love the city as much as I do, you know?
100%. Yeah. And shout out Suffer the Loss. I have a Suffer the Loss shirt, like an OG shirt. I'm at my parents' house. I gotta find it and show it to you.
Man, what if I fucking was in my room next door? But I'll go, man, I'll pull shit out, bro. Like, I got that Suffer the Loss, like the script tee and shit. I had another Suffer the Loss too shirt that they had re-released and shit. But I be telling all types of people, like, hey, let me get that, like, Cricket. Like, I know Cricket got some crazy shit that he don't want to let go of. I know Eddie got some crazy shit. Like, even Aaron, bro. I know Aaron has some crazy fucking merchandise that if I had, I wouldn't even wear. Like, I would frame that shit. Like, I would straight up just frame it or, like, put it in, like, a fucking vacuum seal bag and, like, bury it. Just fucking bury it behind my house. Like, just keep it. Bro, there's a lot of crazy stuff that band has done. You know, they actually played. Suffer the Loss came back when we had when Dustin had the first ever Legion show, like one of the first ever shows at Legion they played. And like, it blew my fucking mind, dude. Cause I had trying to like listen to it, but at the time I didn't fuck, like Dustin, he fucked with me, you know, but he didn't fuck with me enough to like send me like the demo and shit, like the Suffer the Loss demo and like all types of like hidden like stuff. But to Hell Back, and I'm like, this fucking riff speaks to me. And then there's just a bunch of old fucking dudes just beating the shit out of each other. Yeah, man, this shit's awesome, man. Vegas is sick. I love Vegas.
100%. I love Vegas too. I got to get back there at some point. But man, this has been so awesome. I wasn't sure what to expect, because obviously we spoke very briefly before this, but this has been such a pleasure for me. It has me even more stoked on like the future of Las Vegas hardcore, just knowing, because I didn't realize how passionate you are about, you know, the area and the scene. So just being able to talk to you today, it just has me, you know, just stoked knowing that, you know, cool, like I'm a fan of this band from this area, but knowing that this guy in the band, like, you know, is like, you know, 100 times more stoked on like the local scene and just like, you know, being proud of where you come from, because I think it is important to be able to, you know, rep where you come from and just be proud of what you have, right? Because, you know, I feel like the grass could always be, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? You don't really know what you have till it's gone. So for me to meet people who are just stoked on, you know, being where they're from, I just can always appreciate that, because when I grew up in the hardcore scene, I started out in like the Palm Springs area, had a very like struggling scene, but then I moved to Orange County and it's just like, damn, okay, this is it. This is like, you know, very special. And like, I gotta just rep it as hard as I can. And, when I meet people who are just as proud of, you know, their area, like, you know, I can understand that. So being able to hear it, you know, come through you, it's just like, yeah, like I'm stoked for you.
Nah, man, I'll always be proud of Vegas, man. Like Vegas not only has came a long way from very fucking like the abyss of like just people and bands. Like Vegas has came a long way, and I'll always fucking be proud of Vegas, man. I'm fucking East Side Las Vegas till I die, man. I was raised here. I was born here. I'll die here, bro. That's just how it is. I've never done nothing like this before, and fuck, man, it's great. You know, I'm happy that I got to say the things that I got to say, because people need to realize that, you know, people need to realize certain things, especially about this city, you know.
100%. Well, I truly appreciate your time. You know, maybe next time I'm in Vegas, we can get some Metro Pizza, you know, chop it up. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
Man, shout out to Dustin. Shout out to Aaron. You feel me? Shout out to Modelo to get me through this fucking interview without having a panic attack. You feel me? And then I just love Vegas, bro. I just love Vegas. That's it.
All right. Well, Grabe, I truly appreciate your time. Hopefully we cross paths sooner than later. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.